Be seated.
Good morning. If any of you see a little girl named Emery running up the aisle in the middle of the sermon, just snatch her and send her away. She has decided that she likes Donnie singing and wants to run up here. So currently we have someone in the back who had snatched her up and she seems content, but you never know. So. And you know, I've been talking a whole lot lately about the state of the church, and specifically here in Bonner, you know, as, you know, I want to make sure that we are Christ-like and church-like as much as we can be, but just as the church as a whole. And last week I even spoke on do we look like Christ? Are we Christ-like? And there's been a lot of discussion in the congregation here about that, and I wanted to continue with that follow-up by asking a question. What is the Great Commission? If I asked you today to say what the Great Commission is, could you say it? Do you know where it's found? If I was to say to point out a scripture that was great, the Great Commission. In 2018, the Barna Group researchers did a study on the Great Commission, and they asked American church goers that if they had ever heard of the term the Great Commission. 51% said no, and only 17% were able to answer affirmatively and say exactly what the Great Commission was. What's even worse is, even given a multiple choice question option about it, only 37% could pick out accurately the Great Commission in the Bible. The worst part of it all is that the numbers are progressively worse the younger the generations are. 29% born before 1946 could say what it was, 26% for boomers, 17% for Gen X, and 10% for millennials. That means that one out of every 10 millennial churchgoers today know what the Great Commission is. What breaks my heart and what's very sobering for me is to think of children like Emery. Children like the other babies in here. Children like the child that Caitlin is carrying. And makes me wonder what that statistic is going to be when they're teenagers, when they are adults. If it's 1 in 10 now, will it be 1 in 5 later? 1 in 3? Now, some may beg the question, and some may say, well, what's the big deal if they don't know that one verse? What's the big deal if they can't refer back to Mark chapter 16 and say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Who cares if they, what's the big deal if they can't know that one thing? First, I would say that if the concept of the Great Commission is lost in the church in the next few generations, today and next generation, then what motive will we have as the church to spread out? We see now, and I'm sure that many of you will be able to say, that the church today, number-wise, is on a great decline. If we look back to where we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, compared to the numbers we have overall as the church today, it's a drastic decrease. According to the Gospel Advocate, an average of 11 church congregations are closing their doors every single year. Also, if we fail to adhere to the Great Commission, if we fail to understand what it means to go and make disciples, to go and preach the gospel to every person. Without that sense of mission, churches will become too easily inward focused. And members will soon become consumers instead of producers. There's a reason why we've had sermons asking the question, what do I bring to Bible class? What do I bring to worship? Because we've had this mentality for a few years now, for at least a generation now, of what do I get out of worship? I don't go to worship because I don't get anything out of it. What if instead we ask the question, what can I do to make worship better? What can I do to exhibit the Great Commission? Now, some may say, as a brother in the church wrote about, that of course some dismiss the research by pointing out that the term the Great Commission isn't found in the Bible. That you'll never find the words great and commission together in a sentence or anywhere stated in the scriptures. But it doesn't do away with the fact that it's long been the name and the reference for the passage. No different than the Lord's Prayer. If I was to say the Lord's Prayer, you know you're talking about Christ in Matthew chapter 6. Or what about the Great Commandment found in Deuteronomy 6:5? Or the Golden Rule found in Matthew chapter 7? Just because the words Great Commission are not found in the actual text doesn't mean that that's not the reference for which we see it for generations. What's even worse is there's a growing trend of people, as we're going to look at here in a little bit, that say that that was a recommendation, not an actual command of Christ. And that if it was a command, it was only to the disciples themselves that he was talking to, not to every person. I had one person tell me years ago that when I was talking to them, I referenced Mark chapter 16. And I said, see, it says here, we were talking about baptism, and I said, see, it says here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who is not baptized will be condemned. And they said, well, that first part, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that was strictly to the disciples. The immersion part, now that was for us. I don't know how Jesus indicated the switch from personal to generic there, but there are people who believe that the Great Commission, that the command was only for the disciples there. So the question I want to ask today is, are we a congregation? And are we, as the church as a whole today, are we Great Commission focused? And even better, what does it even really mean? I had a conversation with someone once, and many ministers point this out, and I'm sure you have had the same thought today when looking at the Great Commission, is that, well, not all of us are called to be evangelists. Not all of us are meant to be teachers and preachers and missionaries and whatever else you want to label as evangelist. I think when we do this, when we take the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or if you want to look at Matthew chapter 28, where it says, go and make disciples, that if we say that's only for preachers and only for teachers, that we have narrowed it down into a compartment in which it should have never been in. While the Great Commission certainly includes evangelism, it's not all that it's about. What about our children? What about those in our congregation that are in need? In Matthew 28 and verse 19, as it's posted on the board, says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." The key focuses here are going, immersing or baptizing, and teaching. Now, we have a lot of people. I was just having a conversation with someone in this very congregation recently about this, about the idea that we have this mindset, well, I give money in the collection plate, and the church, if you see in the bulletin, we have all these people that, all these mission fields that we contribute to, so I am contributing to the Great Commission because I give money every single week. I don't know about you, but I don't know anywhere in Matthew or in Mark where it says, give money to make disciples or give money to preach the gospel. Well, I think that's a great thing, and I think we should. It was pointed out to me recently that we're so busy focusing on mission fields in Africa, mission fields in Australia, mission fields in China. And maybe we've neglected to adhere to the Great Commission in our own backyards. I recently did a poll of my own on the block around the church building. As for houses, I didn't include the nursing home and the apartment place here, but in actual houses, Caitlin and I, living next door, are the only consecutive churchgoers on the entire block. Because I look at where the cars are. I look at whose lights are on. I look at what movement I can see through the windows. I spy on people. How great it is to have someone in the Ukraine come to Christ. But am I doing it at the expense of my neighbor? This is where I believe we fall short. On the teaching, on the backyard, on making sure that we adhere to the Great Commission here. Because I think that as a congregation and as the church as a whole, we've become consumer focused. One of the great phrases of the church is, I need to make sure I get to heaven. But how much better would it be to instead say, how can I make sure that my neighbor is Christ-like? There's a reason why Paul never said, imitate me to go to heaven. Well, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Every Christian is a product, are we not, of someone going to them and teaching them and immersing them into Christ? But how often do we follow that up? There's a guy that I know, a minister friend of mine, that he recently has changed his view on it, but for years he kept a tally in the back of his Bible, a little piece of paper he had taped to the back of his Bible. And every time he would immerse someone into Christ, he would make a slash in the back of his Bible. And his goal was to immerse at least 10 people every year in Christ. So he'd pick people up off the street. He'd go to the homeless people. He'd go to the prison. He would do everything he could to tick off at least 10 people every single year. You know how many of those stayed? Last time I talked to him, it was 2. His wife and his son. He had immersed countless people into Christ. And turned it into a mill where it was in and out, like a rotation. How much better would it have been, instead of focusing on the people, to focus on the process of teaching them, showing them what it is that the Bible says to do, showing them what it means to be a Christian. Isn't that what Jesus had in mind? I mean, look at the way that he taught. Look at how the apostles, his direct disciples, understood it. Their method wasn't trying to teach people through an impersonal or by sending money to people. It was a hands-on, life-on-life training. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 2, it says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Here is a crazy thought for you. Rather than I focusing on making sure I get to heaven, or that I reach a certain level in the church, what if I instead focus on making sure someone else gets to heaven? What if instead I focus and teach to the point of Christian maturity? What if instead of making sure I get to heaven, I try to reach a place where I can make sure someone else gets that gift and raise them up in a way that they can teach someone else and raise them up in a way that they can teach someone else? There's a movie that came out years ago, and while I don't agree with the language and some of the content in it, the message itself is great. It was called Pay It Forward. And the idea was that this boy was asked in his history class that their goal was to find some way to change the world for the better and come up with a way to implement it. And this boy, his idea was, if I do one life-changing act for two different people, and instead of them paying me back, I encourage them each to do one life-changing act to two more people each. And they encourage them to do one life-changing act for two more people each. It becomes this pyramid. And this boy implemented it. And before long, it had traveled all over the world, into China and Australia and to Africa. And this boy was on the news. I mean, it became this huge thing. What if in my idea of exhibiting the Great Commission, I focused on two people for a year or even for my life? I brought them out of the darkness of the world with Christ's help, brought them into Christ, raised them up, and helped to teach them what it is that the Bible has to teach. And through Christ, they were raised up in such a way that they could teach two more people each. And then later, those two people each taught two more people each. And those two more people each taught two more people each. I don't know how many we have in here today, but we have an average of 100 people as members of this congregation. If each of us focused this year on just one person, at the end of 1 year, we could add 100 people to the church. And a year from that, we could add 200. Imagine what we could do in 5 years if we each focused on just one person exhibiting with the Great Commission. The means and the point of the Great Commission isn't just to baptize as many people as possible and to get them into our buildings. The point is to make lifelong disciples who are constantly growing to the point that they are becoming a producer for Christ, not just a consumer. The point at some point in my life, it should not just be how can I get to heaven, but instead should be how can I make sure other people get to heaven. And that's something my pocketbook can never accomplish. Now I want to go back to the first half here, and some people look at the word all. The idea that the Great Commission isn't for everyone. And I agree that we can't all be preachers, Bible class teachers, elders, or natural evangelists. But I am part of the group that firmly believe that in Mark, Jesus Christ himself, out of his own words, said, "Go into all the world." He didn't say disciples. He didn't say you, and he didn't say I. He just simply said, go. And if I truly believe what Paul wrote in Timothy, in which he told Timothy that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for education and for encouragement, then I must by default believe that the Great Commission is for each and every one of us. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't go to Africa. I can't go to Ghana. I can't go to every neighbor on my block. Consider Titus 2, 3 through 4. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young woman to love their husbands and to love their children. This is where it says that the older Christian women are told to teach and encourage young women how to love their spouses and to love their children. And the natural implication here is that they will gather that information, they will gain that knowledge and apply it, and then they be expected to pass it on to their young children. What about Galatians 6 and verse 1 where it says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too may not be tempted. The idea here is building up the spiritually immature. I don't have to go to my neighbor. I don't have to go to Ghana. I don't have to go to China. I don't have to go to Africa. What if I just simply looked at the person next to me? What if I raise up Emery? And as many of you know, due to Facebook and through word of mouth, that Caitlin and I are expecting a son in July. What if I raise up my son to look for someone like his mom? What if Caitlin raises up Emery to look for someone like me? And then to teach their children the same thing. What if I raised up my children so that when people look at them, they know that something is different and they can talk to them about it? And Hebrews 10 and verse 24 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I am my brother's keeper. The Great Commission told me to go and teach, to go and make disciples. The Bible doesn't say in there, go and make sure only yourself gets to heaven. No, it says, go and make disciples. What about Zach? Both of them that are in here. What about Luke? What about Madeline? What about Jenny? Maybe the Great Commission isn't so much as preaching and teaching overseas and writing a check, but in raising up the children of the congregation to be the next leaders of the congregation. This is what a Great Commission congregation and a Great Commission church should be. Not what can I do to get to heaven, but what can I do to encourage others to go to heaven? I hope you can see that clearly. I got this from a brother in Christ who posted this. It's originally a chart from the Disciple Maker's Handbook. And I think it does a great job of plotting the disciples' growth through the entire Great Commission. Starting out with you must be born again, crossing over Jesus as the bridge. And first you need guidance. Then you become self-focused like a child. Then as a young adult, you become kingdom-focused, making sure you're going to heaven. Then you become like a parent, a disciple maker. And then finally, you become a disciple grandparent, making disciple makers. One brother in Christ wrote, and I think there's a lot of truth to it, he said, "I don't think it's an unfair assessment to say that even the strongest of Christians typically do not progress past step 3 of the journey, labeled kingdom focused. But if we truly apply the Great Commission as Jesus intended it and the apostles did, it will be our goal to help as many Christians reach stage 5 as possible." We need to realize that whether it's benevolence, whether it's service, whether it's encouragement, no matter what we do, everything needs to be Great Commission focused. As was said a second ago, I love how they have this set up as a family. You start off as a babe in Christ, develop into a child, later into an adult, later into a parent, and then later into a grandparent. What if we did this very same thing physically, and each of us chose one child in this very congregation, whether it's your own child or not, and you brought them under your wing to help raise them up as a disciple of Christ? How much better would the church be tomorrow? How much better would it be in a week? The Great Commission isn't just for people overseas. The church in Africa is growing exponentially. Last time I heard, the church in China, even though it had to go underground and have to go house to house, is growing exponentially. And yet here in the United States, we are losing 11 congregations a year. And they say, at least this was back in 2017, the Gospel Advocate said that it takes an average of 6 adults just to keep one child in the church when they go to adulthood. Have we, in exhibiting the Great Commission, as we becoming consumer-focused in the church, have we neglected our own backyard? If children are not continuing in the faith when they become adults, I dare say maybe it's not entirely their fault. Maybe we are to blame for neglecting them, for not becoming Great Commission focused. I know we have all kinds of mottos that we like to say in the church. I know we have one here on the bulletin. It's love another, love Christ, love the lost, I believe it is. But what if starting from today our focus was go make disciples? Go and teach. Not give more money. Not make sure the church building is clean. Not dragging people into the pews, but going and teaching what it means to be Christ-like. Have we become consumer-based here in Bonner? Have we neglected our children, our neighbors? Have we neglected one another to focus more on ourselves instead? Because I guarantee you, if I focus on making sure that Dennis is Christ-like, and if I focus on making sure Shannon is Christ-like, then by default, through nature, I will become more Christ-like. Maybe the idea isn't focusing on myself, but focusing on others so that I can become better too. Whatever your need may be, I ask that you please come as we stand and sing.